Tonight's reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Thank you for that, Gus. Good evening, everyone. Have you ever received a really average award? One that you just really didn't want, one that just made no sense? There's nods, people definitely have. When I was in year five, I won an award at our speech day. Essentially, it was for being a good citizen. I feel like it was a bit of an effort award or an improvement award. And I was given a book, a couple of hundred page book with graphics and fold-out diagrams on flight. Thank you. The book related in no way to the award that I won. In class, we'd also just done a whole subject on flight. So it would have been great before that subject to do all the assignments, to do the presentation, to do the test. Now I knew all this stuff about flight. The prize made no sense. I wasn't interested in flight. I didn't have any more subjects on flight. The prize was pointless. I never even picked it up off the bookshelf. To remember what the prize was for, I got my mum to send a photo of it to me today. I never even picked it up off the bookshelf. Some of you probably would have loved the book. You would love a book on flight. But for me, my interests, they lay elsewhere. And the whole prize seemed to make just no sense. And so as we continue our series on I Will, appropriate that I'm preaching, tonight we will explore how Jesus promises that I will reward, comparing a reward which, like a book on flight, will be of no use and will not satisfy with one that will last and bring eternal satisfaction. But first, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, you are good. You are so good. You know us fully. You love us unconditionally. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to hear your voice in a noisy world. I pray that tonight you would challenge us, empower us, and be with us as we strive to become more generous out of our love for you and love for people. Amen. There's no reward in seeking approval from others. Come with me to Matthew 6, 1 to 2. Open it up in your Bibles. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And so we find ourselves in Matthew 6 in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Matthew, this is the first and longest collection of Jesus' teachings. And this sermon actually presents Jesus as Israel's ultimate and authorized teacher and actually warns the believers that to believe in Jesus, following him, means that we actually have to do what he says. And in chapter 6, in this little section, Jesus uses giving, prayer, and fasting. And these were three really important religious practices in the Jewish religion as examples for all practices, for everything that we do, as examples of how our heart should be, how our heart should be orientated when we do everything. And so tonight we'll focus in on that idea of giving. And Jesus actually begins this teaching with the phrase, be careful. The ESV version says, beware. There seems to be something that we need to be aware of. There seems to be a trap which we can easily fall into. You might even say, there might be a trap we've already fallen into. be careful is this call to actually concentrate on the central thing when we give, when we serve, when we pray, and when we fast. Jesus is going to ask us the big question, why do you do those things? What is in your heart the motivation behind doing what you do? And so for the Jewish people, they regarded giving money to the poor as a religious obligation, not merely a humanitarian one. And it was a big contrast to the surrounding Greco-Roman society. And it's actually rooted in the Torah. And we see in Deuteronomy 15:11 that says, "For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land." And the Jews took this very seriously. Every week, the officials made collections of goods and money for the poor. If you stayed in one place for longer than 30 days, you were actually then obliged to contribute to that fund. The Jews lived in these generous societies. Giving was taken seriously, and all did it. People are giving. They're being generous. Isn't that great? Isn't that the call? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So why does Jesus have a problem here? Well, at the heart of why these people are giving is so that others saw, so that others would be aware of their generosity. They blare trumpets, they loudly make a scene in the synagogue and the streets. Their main motivation behind the giving was themselves, their image, their status, their honour, and their standing in the community. These people want the approval from others. They want to think people look up to them. Least important to them was actually helping the person in need out. The person in need to them was just a means of increasing their own social standing and honour. The person in need was just a means to help the generous person make a name for themselves. The person in need was just a means to an end, a self-glorifying and self-promoting end, a way to seek and receive approval from others. And in society back then and even today, the person who can give the most in terms of money or possessions is seen as the person with the most power. The biggest person is the one who can give away the most. So we have a drive for power, for approval, for recognition, and for honour. And all of this was the driving force behind people actually being generous with what they have. And we read, though, that these people will receive their reward in full. And when I first read this passage, I thought, how unfair is this? Jesus says, don't give like this. Don't do these things, but you will receive your reward in full. So don't give like this, but get your reward in full. And it hardly seems fair. In fact, I would say that is unfair. Why do you get a reward for doing the wrong thing? And well, what Jesus is actually saying here is if you give to receive accolades, if you give to boost your image, if you give to improve your status and your honour, to gain power and to seek the approval of others, you will. You will have people looking up to you. You will have people like you and follow you and want to be like you. You will increase your honour and your social standing. If you want people to stand and clap, you can. If you want to use people for your own cause, you can. And it will work. If you want to think people approve of you and love you, then you can. But Jesus is going to go on and he's going to challenge this reward. He's actually going to challenge this whole way of thinking. Because Jesus actually plays by a different currency. If you want a reward that is fleeting, which will only last until someone else gives more money, until someone is more generous or more expansive in the way that they give, then yes, you can play by that currency. You can be a part of that system, but it won't last and it will disappoint. That reward looks great from the outside. It plays to our egos. It plays to the trap which we can easily fall into, but it won't last. It won't actually fulfill that desire for approval and recognition because the result is that we seek a kind of approval from people that we can only satisfy when it comes from God. We seek a kind of approval from people that can only satisfy when it comes from God. There is no reward in seeking approval from others. 2 years ago now, I ran a half marathon with Begsy. And you feel pretty good after completing a half marathon. You chuck a photo up on Facebook with your medal. You tell everyone about it. And I also walked around for a few days with a little bit of a limp. Did I need a limp? Probably not. Did it mean that people asked why I was limping and I could tell them it was because I ran a half marathon? Definitely. There's so many little things that we do come from a place of wanting people to notice us, to approve of us, and to like us. For me, it was almost like that if people didn't know I ran, what was the point of doing it? If they didn't know, why would I waste my time? Have you ever done something nice for someone and they don't say anything in return and no one else notices? You do a nice thing. You go out of your way to help someone and you get zero recognition in return. You know that feeling, don't you? We love to be recognized for what we do, especially when it's something good. When it's something actually going out of our way to help others, we want people to know. So we actually need to be asking ourselves, why do we give? Why are we generous? Why do we actually want to help people, giving up our time, our money, and our resources? We need to ask ourselves these big questions. Why? Because I think we're addicted to approval. Approval addiction takes us captive. It controls us and every single little thing that we do. Approval addiction is actually defined by John Ortberg as when we live in bondage to what others think of us. When we live in bondage to what others think of us. And approval addicts find themselves measuring their accomplishments against those of other people. I just want to share a few examples of what that actually might look like for us. I wonder if any of these ring true. If we find ourselves often getting hurt by what others say about us, by people expressing other than glowing opinions about us, if we always compare ourselves with others, if we find ourselves getting competitive in the most ordinary situations, if we live with that nagging sense that we aren't important enough or special enough, or if we get envious of another's success, we probably have it. If we keep trying to impress important people, we probably have it. If we are worried that someone might think ill of us, if he or she were to find out that we're an approval addict, we probably have it. Are we only willing to serve in ministries if a certain person asks us, or if we know that people will see us? Then most likely we are an approval addict. We as a culture are addicted to approval. We're addicted to having people like us, or what part of them we actually let them see. We're addicted to that feeling that other people like us, know us, and love us. And we end up doing everything just so others will know, so that others will see. And I mean, there's a joke about it too. We say, if it's not on Instagram, it didn't even happen. And we say it all the time, don't we? And it actually rings true because Instagram, Snapchat, they're all based around approval, liking, following, streaks. Yet it's not even an approval of who we are. It's approval of who we want people, of what we want people to think we are. We give highlights and snippets, the best of. If we do something sort of on trend or fun, we'll add it to our story. Why? So that others know that's who we are. But it's not truly who we are. It's a highlight of who we are, so that others approve of us. This addiction to approval seeps into our church as well. There are so many good things which appear to be good from the outside, but on the inside, we are craving people to notice, to have some recognition, and to have people actually approve of who we are, what we achieve, and the way that we live our lives. But are we willing to do it if we get no recognition? If no one sees. The Jewish people all gave. That's what they did. And that's how they understood what it meant to follow God and to love God and love people. But some gave more, and they made this big deal out of it. They sounded trumpets and made a scene in the synagogues. They made sure they were seen and that they were heard. And they got their reward. And we can get our reward too. If you want to seek approval from others, if we are addicted to making sure others know what we are up to, what we have done, and how well we have achieved something, then we can get it. In fact, we can get it in full. We can have people look up to us, follow us and want to be like us. We can have people, we can have people's approval. And Jesus' words sing true here. Be careful. There is a trap to fall into. We can look to be doing all the right things. We can give money to the right people. We can serve in the right ministries. We can have the right people over for dinner. We can buy someone a coffee. All good, really good things. Yet at the heart of it, we've done it all so that others will think better of us, so that we will be part of the in crowd, so that we will have a better or different social standing. Is any of this ringing true? Is any of this actually going in your mind thinking, oh, I can see where this is present? Because it's hard. It's asking questions of our hearts. It's digging deep into our motivations. We have to be honest with ourselves and we have to be honest with God. But the passage doesn't end there. Because we are to give because God approves and loves you. In verses 3 and 4, read along with me, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 3 begins with, but when you give, not if you feel like it, not if you've just got a few spare coins in your pocket or you happen to have a few spare hours in your day, when you give, when you carve out specific time to be generous with what you have, when you actually sacrificially give up time to serve others, when you give, God wants us to be givers. He wants us to be super generous with what we have. And God expects that as we follow him, as his love and grace transforms our heart, we will actually become more generous with what we have. A natural outflow of following Jesus is that we are to be more generous with what we have. A natural outflow of our heart being transformed is that we are to hold our possessions more lightly in our hands. We are to acknowledge that everything we have is God's, and we are to willingly share and give to others because we love God and love people. And the Jews understood that. That is why it was part of their religious practice. It was just expected that people gave. It was expected that each week they'd help out the poor. And God wants his people to give. But he wants us to give out of a heart and love for people and God. Generosity just isn't about us. And to show us what that means, Jesus uses the line, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And I love how the Message version sums this verse up. It says, when you help someone out, don't think about how it looks, just do it, quietly and unobtrusively. Giving, our generosity, should always point to God's love and God's grace. We should be generous because we love God and we love people. When we give, we should do it because we want to see people flourish and live into their God-given identities. We should give because we want to see God's kingdom grow and that we actually want to see more people in more places making more responses to Jesus. The idea of the left not knowing what the right is doing is that idea that we actually need to disconnect ourselves, our desires, our self-promoting traits from the act of giving. Ultimately, it's a heart thing. God wants his people to be honest about their motivations. He wants them to expect nothing in return. He wants them not to be noticed. God doesn't want the need for approval or people's pride to be anywhere near generosity. That's why Jesus says, do it in secret. It's almost like if it's not in secret, the temptation to fall into the trap of approval seeking is actually just too high. Jesus wants us to be generous, and he wants us to do it for God's glory, and the best way to do that is when no one else is around and no one else can see. Jesus is saying that when you struggle with seeking approval, power and recognition for giving, when you struggle with that stuff because it's so deeply ingrained in your culture and the world around you, when you struggle with it, the best way to combat that is to be generous in secret. Don't tell anyone. Don't let anyone see. Do it completely in secret. Why? Because then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And this is where Jesus portrays the opposite currency of what we explored in the first half of this passage. Those who seek approval from others, recognition from people, power in society, are completely missing the point. They're dealing the wrong currency because the only way to fulfill those desires is from God himself. That is his reward. Jesus knows his people. He loves his people. And he approves of his people. And we have glimpses of this now. We know of his love now. And then the reward will be fulfilled when we reach heaven, when we become fully aware of God's love for us, when we become fully aware of how much he knows us and how much he approves of us. The reward is a heavenly currency, a currency which will stand the test of time, now and into eternity. And we don't know exactly what God has in mind when he says reward, and we can only guess. But surely it will be one day hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant," that the best praise on earth only dimly foreshadows. Being able to give without letting anyone know points to a spiritual maturity where we no longer feel the need to congratulate ourselves when we get something right or do something good. The reward is that we can truly see that it is better to give than to receive. Giving is no longer extraordinary to us. It just looks sane. It's just the natural thing to do. The reward is that we see the world through a kingdom of God lens. We see the beauty and wonder in people and the power and love of God. I've led on a few crew study camps, and one of my favorite things to do on camp is to run the mixed netball comp. Mixed netball is one of the greatest sports. And we sign everyone up to teams, we chuck leaders in with them, and we play. Except mixed netball is so good that everyone wants to play, and you end up with no umpires. Netball with no umpires is no fun. So on one of the camps, I asked two girls who weren't playing if they'd like to umpire. They seemed pretty keen, they pretty much said yes, and then they talked about it for a minute, and then they said, "Only if you buy us Maccas." Smart. I really wanted to play, so I bought the Maccas and a good deal was struck. But isn't it funny that whenever we do things, we think we sort of have this right to a reward? They weren't just willing to umpire the netball, allow everyone else to enjoy the games, and actually be content in being part of the entire camp's enjoyment. They needed to have that individual recognition, the reward for what they had done. And I mean, I'd be the same. And this is the danger of our addiction to approval. We want a reward for what we have done. We want people to know. We want to be recognized. We want recognition. So we seek the approval of others. The challenge for us then, and John Ortberg calls this a spiritual discipline, is to do good things in secret. We have a problem with seeking approval, power, and recognition. In order to combat that, to fight against that, we need to do it in secret. To break down our addiction to approval is to give, be generous, and let no one else know. With no one knowing, intentionally making sure no one knows. It would mean umpiring and asking for nothing. It would mean doing a half marathon and not feeling like I had to let everyone else know, because that's not the point of why we did those things. We fight for approval, for success, and to be loved, yet we go after it in a way that will never fulfill those desires. So when we give, when we are generous, we are to do so because God knows us, he loves us, and he approves of us. And this is why we give. Only God has the ability to fully know you, to fully love you, and to fully approve of you. To begin to overcome our approval addiction, I want to give you a challenge. You need to do something for someone this week, a good thing for someone, and make sure no one knows about it. Generosity can be in many forms, but think about how you use your keys, your watch, and your wallet. How can you be generous with your time, your watch? How can you be generous with your house and your car, your keys? How can you be generous with your finances, your wallet? Pick someone and immerse them in prayer, but don't tell anyone. Make a donation to a charity, but don't let anyone know. Send a really nice gift to someone, and don't tell anyone. Cook for someone, mow for someone, take bins out, let someone in front, let your imagination of what loving people could look like run wild, but you don't have to tell anyone. The practice of secrecy, of doing things without others knowing, exists to liberate those who are trapped by the desire to be seen and to impress others. The reward? Well, God satisfies. To grow into a greater understanding of who God is and who we are, and to align ourselves with our God-given identity, living into a fullness of who we were made to be in Him and who we were made to become. The reward is that we come to see that it truly is better to give than receive. That living out God's kingdom is by far greater, is by far more rewarding and more satisfying than chasing and constantly chasing the approval from others. This is a reward that we need to live into and learn as we live it out, realizing how great, how big, how wide this is every single day. Let's commit to breaking our addiction to approval. Let's be generous, giving people, because all of that because God loves us and we love God and we love people. So this week, let's strive to be generous. Let's strive to love people in radical ways, and let's strive to do it all without feeling like we have to tell anyone about it. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be more generous with everything we have. We want to give because you love us. We want to give because the only approval we need is from you. I pray that this week you would place people and situations in our lives where we have no other decision to make than to be generous, to pour out ourselves for another because you love us and we want to bring you glory. Help us to do it all, though, in secret, fighting back against our addiction to approval. We love you, God. Amen. We're now going to have a time of communion. And a